Good morning, Edgemere Church of Christ. It is so good to be with you this morning, and I'm honored to be invited to fill in for my good friend Scott Franks this week and next week. And so I've been really looking forward to this. So Scott is a good friend of mine. We used to work together way, way, way back in the day. And my wife and I became good friends with Scott and Sherry. We've been good friends of theirs for a long time. And we love and respect them as I know you do. And how blessed are you to have Scott and Sherry serving alongside you? I want to ask you to do me a favor. Please let them know how much you appreciate them as often as you can. Again, it is good to be with you this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow believers, and to worship you, to lift you up. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you have done for us, and what you are continuing to do within us. Lord, I thank you for this congregation who has a long history of advancing your kingdom purposes in this community and beyond. Lord, I pray that you will continue to be with them, continue to work through them and use them for your glory and to bring you honor and to make Jesus known. Lord, I pray that you will be with the group that is in Honduras. And Lord, I pray that you will keep them safe. I also pray that you will help them to shine the light of Christ brightly and to share the love of Christ joyfully. Lord, I pray that you be with us now and turn our hearts and our minds toward your word so that we may learn from you, that we may be encouraged, that we may be spurred on toward greater love and greater good deeds. And Lord, just as we sang a moment ago, we are grateful for the love that you have for us, a love that never lets us go. And Lord, we do love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. One of the most monumental events in human history occurred on December 17th, 1903, on a beach in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, when Orville and Wilbur Wright made their first successful flight of an airplane, paving the way to the air travel that we enjoy today. That flight lasted all of 12 seconds. And as soon as that flight was over, Wilbur immediately rushed over to the closest telegraph office, and he sent a message to their sister Catherine, and the message said this: "We have flown for 12 seconds. We will be home for Christmas." Well, as soon as she got that telegram, Catherine rushed it over to the local newspaper. She told the editor about her brother's flying machine and informed him that they would be home for Christmas if he wanted to set up an interview with them. Well, the editor said that that was nice and he would be sure to put something about the boys in the paper, and he did. On December 19th, he ran a headline about the boys on page 6 of the newspaper, and that headline said this: "Wright Brothers Home for Christmas." That's it. That's all there was. There was absolutely nothing in there about man's first flight, which is a pretty big deal. And so this editor had the scoop of all scoops, and yet he completely missed the story. Maybe he didn't believe it. Maybe he didn't see the relevance of it, or maybe he was so distracted by minor things that he didn't see the bigger story. Today we come to a text in this sermon series that highlights two men who were so distracted by their selfishness, their egos, and their political agendas that they missed the bigger story of what God was doing in the world and of what God wanted to do through them. They were so focused on building their own little empires that they missed out on the great adventure of advancing the kingdom of God, and consequently, each of them became obstacles to God's plans. And as we read their story this morning, I want to make sure that we don't miss the point of the story. And the point comes in the form of four questions that I want to encourage you to be reflecting on as we go throughout this sermon. Those four questions are these: who am I listening to? What am I listening for? Who or what am I worshiping? And am I leading people toward God or away from God? If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll also have that on the screen for you. But in 1 Kings chapter 12, we see two men, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, take center stage in Israel's drama. Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon, who ascended to the throne when Solomon died. Jeroboam was an official in Solomon's administration who had fled to Egypt when Solomon suspected him of treason. These two men are on a collision course that is set up in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. That passage says this: "The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, 'Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen.'" Now we come to 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this," he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, "he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you.' Rehoboam answered, 'Go away for 3 days and then come back to me.' So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. 'How would you advise me to answer these people?' he asked. They replied, 'If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants.' But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, 'What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, "Lighten the yoke your father put on us"?' The young men who had grown up with him replied, 'These people have said to you, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Now tell them, "My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions."' 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, 'Come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people. This passage brings us to our first two reflection questions. Who are you listening to, and what are you listening for? At first, Rehoboam demonstrates a good leadership trait. He seeks out the counsel and the wisdom of other people. He listens to three groups of people. One of those groups is the people themselves. And notice that the people came to him asking not for liberation, but for leniency. They were not rejecting Rehoboam as king. They were not at first rebelling against him as king. Rather, what they were asking him to do is to show compassion for their circumstances. The elders seconded that notion, and they told Rehoboam that if you will show compassion to the people, they will be loyal to you as king. And then there's the third group, a group of young men. And their advice to Rehoboam was that if he wanted to separate himself from his father and become a king who was greater than his father, then the way to do that is through cruelty, not compassion. And for whatever reason, that's the advice that clicked with Rehoboam. Now, we might understand the desire of a son to separate himself a little bit from his father, or to do things that are even greater than his father did. But why would Rehoboam choose to do that by being merciless instead of merciful? Well, maybe Rehoboam listened to these young men because he wanted to be in with the group of younger, hipper, cooler men. Maybe deep down, Rehoboam wanted to be feared more than he wanted to be loved and respected. Or maybe the advice given to him by those young men is what was echoing in his heart. One of the best life skills that a person can develop is the ability to discern between who to listen to and who not to listen to. Rehoboam listened to the wrong group of people, and the consequences were disastrous. And most of the time, that's the case when we listen to the wrong people, isn't it? Who are you listening to? What are you listening for? Who has influence with you? Are you listening to people whose lives demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit? Are you listening to people who demonstrably live out the way of Christ? Do you seek counsel from people who help to lead you toward God and who make the will of God more clear to you? If you're not listening to those kinds of people, it might be because you're wanting to hear from people who will justify the sinful desires of your heart. Sometimes that's why we don't listen to God the way that we should. Most people reject God not because they don't believe in God, but because they don't want to hear what God has to say and they don't want to live the way God wants them to live. So often, the reason why we feel frustrated and feel like we're not hearing from God is not because God's not speaking, but it's because we're not listening for God. Amen. Rehoboam was not listening for God. God was speaking to him through the people. God was speaking to him through the elders. But Rehoboam, he wanted to hear people who were echoing what was in his heart. He wanted to hear from people who were justifying his sinful heart. And that's who he chose to listen to. Who are you listening to? And what are you listening for? Well, let's keep reading in 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. When all the Israelites heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called to him and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. Only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the house of David. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered all Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 able young men, to go to war against Israel and to regain the kingdom for Rehoboam, son of Solomon. Now skip down to verse 25. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. Jeroboam thought to himself, "The kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam." After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. One he set up in Bethel, the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people came to worship the one at Bethel and went as far as Dan to worship the other. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He instituted a festival on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. This he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And at Bethel he also installed priests at the high places he had made. On the 15th day of the 8th month, a month of his own choosing, he offered sacrifices on the altar he had built at Ethel. So he instituted the festival for the Israelites and went up to the altar to make offerings. This passage brings us to the next set of reflection questions. What or who am I worshiping? And am I leading people toward God or away from God? In this story, it's clear that Rehoboam and Jeroboam are not worshiping God. They are worshiping self, they are worshiping pride, they are worshiping money, and they are worshiping power. But what's most disturbing is that they believed in God. They called on God. They even believed in the idea of worshiping God, but they wanted to be worshiped more. Both Rehoboam and Jeroboam manipulated religion instead of living in relationship with God. As a result, they made themselves enemies of God's will and of God's kingdom. And what's even worse is they manipulated others to become the same. Now, Jeroboam's an interesting case because Jeroboam shows up on the scene as a liberator. The prodigal son has come home out of exile in Egypt, and he has come to be a man of the people, fighting for the people. But he turns out to be just as much of a scoundrel, oppressor, and manipulator as Rehoboam. And that's often the case in this world with people who promise liberation. And that's why the character of a leader matters greatly. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we find Israel becoming a divided nation. In 2024, we live in a nation that is divided in many ways. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we see all of Israel being led by two incredibly flawed men. In 2024, we will choose a president from among two incredibly flawed men. No matter what you believe about their politics, each of these men has revealed themselves to be manipulators who worship self and power instead of God, even though they each claim to believe in God. And the word of warning to us from 1 Kings chapter 12, as we go through this election cycle this year, is we must pay close attention to who we're listening to and what we're listening for. And we cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated by sinful men and led away from our sinless Savior. That's what's happening in 1 Kings 12. And it's what's happening in our nation today. We don't want that to happen to us, ambassadors of Christ, witnesses of Christ, those who have been called to go out and make Jesus known. And so we must be careful. And that brings up the fourth question. Am I leading people toward God or away from God? I'm a leadership trainer and coach, and at its core, leadership is a relationship of influence. And every person in this room has a circle of influence, no matter how small or how big that circle is. And so one of the questions we must ask ourselves is, am I stewarding my influence in a Christ-honoring way? Am I influencing the people in my life to become closer to God, to see Jesus, to follow Him? Or is my influence in their life actually a hurdle they have to overcome in order to get to God? Am I leading people toward God or away from God? Husbands, are you leading your wife closer to God or away from God? Wives, are you leading your husband closer to God or away from God? Fathers and mothers, are you leading your children closer to God or away from God? And maybe the time to answer that question is not while you're sitting in a church building, but when you're at home looking at your calendar. Elders and ministers, are you leading this congregation closer to God or away from God? And I know that sounds like just, you know, such a silly question to ask in this context. But in this story that we're in, we're in a section of the story this week that is filled with leaders of God's people who led God's people away from God instead of closer to Him. And so maybe that question's not so silly after all. Those of you who are single, are you leading your friends or those you're dating closer to God or further away from God? Each of us, as a follower of Christ, has been called to make Jesus known in word and deed to those around us. But through our way of being and through our way of relating to other people, where are we leading them? These four questions come right out of the story in 1 Kings chapter 12. And these four questions are really important for us to take some time to reflect on. And so again, who are you listening to? What are you listening for? What or who are you truly worshiping? And are you leading people toward God or away from God? I began this sermon by saying that we don't want to miss the point of this story. And the point of the story in 1 Kings chapter 12 is this: living for God is a greater legacy than living for self. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, they each wanted to make their mark on the world. They each wanted to build up their own legacies, but through their spectacular failure, they teach us this lesson: that living for God is a greater legacy than living for self. There's one more section of 1 Kings chapter 12 that we haven't read yet. You might have noticed that I skipped over that. I want to go back to that. It's 1 Kings 12, verses 22 through 24. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all Judah and Benjamin and to the rest of the people, this is what the Lord says: do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing. So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again as the Lord had ordered. In that moment, Rehoboam listened to God. And in doing so, he shows us that it's never too late to listen to God. Perhaps you've been listening to the wrong people. Maybe you've been listening for the wrong thing. And maybe you have been worshiping something or someone else instead of God. Maybe you have been leading people away from God instead of closer to God. Maybe you have been working to secure your own legacy instead of working to advance God's kingdom purposes. If that's the case, then you can probably relate to Rehoboam and Jeroboam. But I hope you'll see from Rehoboam that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, it's never too late to listen to God. And so, if you hear God calling you to respond this morning, and there's going to be shepherds who will be waiting for you in the back, who will pray with you and talk with you and sit with you, no matter what it is that you need. And if that's the case, you can go to them right now as we stand and sing together.